Rabbi Moshe Feldman.
Good morning, everybody. We're still, A, not too far away from Hanukkah, and B, we're going to make sure that the lessons of Hanukkah and the light of Hanukkah will still penetrate into us right through the remainder of the winter and the remainder of the year. We'll emerge together, imitz Hashem, with the help of Hashem, from darkness to light. Mechoshech le'oel. I'll begin with a story. The Baal Shem Tov was standing in his Beis HaMedrash at the door with his Talmidim. Standing at the door of the Beis HaMedrash, talking and learning with them, talking in Hasidus with them, when all of a sudden, Beryl, the water carrier, with his pails, with his buckets of water, walked past. And as was his minig, as was his custom, the Baal Shem Tov always said, Beryl, how are you? And Beryl would say, would often answer, Baruch Hashem, Rebbe, I'm fine. And one day, the Baal Shem Tov was standing at the door with his Talmidim. Beryl walked past, and he said, Beryl, how are you today? And this time, Beryl said, what do you mean, Rebbe, how am I today? How do you think I am? I'm schlepping these pails of water. I'm getting old. I'm an older person now. I've got to schlep, I've got a large family to feed, a large family to support, to look after. My back's killing me. My boots are torn and tattered. Not only that, but they built new houses at the other side of the town on the top of a steep hill. And I've got to climb up the hill and I've got to go and I've got to schlep and I've got to try and bring water to them, to all the new houses. And you're asking me how I am, Rebbe. Oh, the Baal Shem Tov smiled. Next day or the day after, the Baal Shem Tov was standing at the entrance of the Beis HaMedrash together with his Talmidim when Beryl, the water carrier, walked past the gate. Beryl, good morning, how are you? Ah, Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, I'm fine. It's marvellous. Baruch Hashem, I've got a parnasa. I'm able to supply water to so many people. The buckets are sturdy in my hands. Baruch Hashem, the Abish has given me strength. Not only that, I have a large family, so many sweet children to look at and to listen to and to hear their Divrei Torah and to be able to support their Rebbes. It's marvellous. Not only that, they've just gone and built some brand new houses at the other end of town that I can supply water to all those people, extra parnasa, extra income that I never had before. It's marvellous, Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, fantastic. And Beryl, the water carrier, walked on. The Talmidim couldn't understand. They turned round to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, we don't understand. The other day, he was moaning about those very points, moaning and moaning and moaning about this and about that. And the very next day, or the day after, those very same points, he's using as massive positive blessing signs from Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov said it's very, very simple. The day before when I asked him how he was not thinking of Hashem. He was not thinking of Baruch Hashem. He was thinking of the situation that he finds himself in, and he was pinpointing all those situations, and he was saying, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. But today I caught him in his regular mood, when he says, Baruch Hashem, when he's thinking about all the chasadim, he's looking at a different angle altogether because Hashem's in his mind. And he's saying to Hashem, Hashem, what you've done for me, you've done all these kindnesses for me, truly things are hard. Of course all those points he mentioned the day before were all true points. The buckets were heavy for him. He had Parnassa to provide for all his children. Of course that was true. And of course he had to climb to the top of the hill for the other houses. But if you look at a different angle, then all those hardships become blessings from Hashem. All those negatives become positives. It's only the way, the angle you look at it. As we say, we've just come from Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah, if we look carefully at Hanukkah, we all know that Hanukkah, there were two aspects of Hanukkah. One was a tremendous victory against the Yevonim, and secondly, the ness of the oil in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. If we look at the first miracle, it parallels Kriyas Yamsuf. If not, one could even dare to suggest it was even a greater miracle than Kriyas Yamsuf. We're talking about a band of people, totally untrained in war whatsoever, totally immersed in Torah, and they are even going to dream, to dare, to fight against the mighty Greek army of thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. It's not even something to talk about. It's not even in the textbooks. It's not even, it's a joke. It's child play to even think about such a thing. And yet they were able to win. They were able to beat the mighty Greek army. We never really get a chance to step back and to think about this miracle, except when we're saying Allah listen. Mosarato Giboirim Biyad Chaloshim Verabim Biyad Ma'atim. It was an amazing miracle of tremendous proportions to be able to beat such a colossal enemy. And we're not even talking about one army versus the other army. We're talking about a band, a family band against the huge, mighty Greek army of the time. It's just not even chalk and cheese. And yet, somehow our main focus and our main mitzvahs of Hanukkah seem to be on the Nisim of the Shemen in the Menorah. Because a person can go through Mosarato Giboirim Biad Chaloshim Verabim Biad Ma'atim and he can still remain in darkness. He can still manage to look at the negative points in life. He can still manage to emphasize on the Chaloshim and emphasize on the Ma'atim, rather than the Giboirim Biyad Chaloshim and the Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim. It was only when the Eibishter made the Ness of the Shemen, the Ness of the oil of the Menorah, which took us from there into the light, from darkness into light, then we realize that it's not only a case of the Gewaldig Ness which the Eibishter performed for us, but the Eibishter is looking after us. It's like a father, the moshel of a father who loses something precious. And he loses something and he wants it tremendously. And part of what he loses, part of what he lost, the son will gain as well. But at the moment it's lost and they can't find it. And they're searching here and they're searching there, they can't find it. And all of a sudden, the son manages to find it. And the son is so happy because he knows, A, he's going to gain as well from what he found. But on top of that, his father goes over to him and he gives him a kiss on his head. And he says, thank you, my dear son. And the son walks away with a double simcha. First of all, he's found something so precious for him and for his father. And not only that, but his father's given him a tremendous kiss on his head. My son, I love you so much. With the Ness of the Shemen, it showed not only the gewaldig way that Abish is looking after us, but that Abish is looking after us with a kiss on our forehead. the Eibush is looking after us with the Pach Shemen, with the Nisim of the Menorah to show, I'm looking after you all the time, and I'm caring for you, and I'm giving you kisses, I'm giving you tremendous love. Tremendous Nashika. And the Sfarim Akdoshim say, the Sfasemis brings it, that the Lamed Vav Neiro, so 36 lights of the Menorah, each Ner stays with us for the next 36 days after Chanukah. It stays with us, you can say one Ner per day. It will take us until the week of Tu B'Shvat. It will take us right into the week when we're re-emerging once again, the resurgence of life, if you like, the mushel of the trees beginning to sprout once again, beginning to have their revival once again. This will take us into the week of Tu B'Shvat if you work out 36 days from after Hanukkah until Tu B'Shvat, the week of Tu B'Shvat. Let us now turn to the sedras we found ourselves in over the past current few weeks. Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, and Mir Hashem next week, Vayechi. Let us first turn to Yaakov Avinu. In this week's Sedra, in Vayigash, when Yaakov Avinu is talking to Paro, Yaakov Avinu describes his life. Now, without seeing it in the Pasuk, we would never imagine that Yaakov would ever describe his life like that. What does he say? Ma'at v'ro'im hoyu yemei shenei chayai. Few and bad were the days of the years of my life. One word perplexes us, and that's the word v'ro'im. How can a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Ovis, the chosen one of all the three Ovis, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, we say his name three times a day, at least in Shemayin Esra. How can he say, v'ro'im, my days were bad? Let us analyze and see a little bit about the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, as we know, was a symbol of Emes. For Yaakov Avinu, being in Shechem was being in darkness. When it comes to Emes, Yaakov had clarity of light. We all know how it is when we're driving along and it's dark, or even sometimes even worse than dark when it's twilight, when it's not quite light and not quite dark, and you're in roads which are not familiar to us, and we're driving along and we're not sure which roads to turn, and the weather's bad as well, and it seems uncomfortable and awkward to drive and awkward to find the way. And all of a sudden, we have clarity. All of a sudden, some clouds disperse, it gets clearer, it gets lighter, and we're able to follow a clear way, and we're able to follow the way. With Yaakov Avinu, titein emes leYaakov. Yaakov Avinu was a man of complete emes. This was the middah of Yaakov Avinu. Have we ever stopped to think how Yaakov Avinu lived for the first many, many, many years of his life? True, he was living with Yitzchak Avinu, with Rivka Imenu, but there was an amazing problem. The problem was, he was living with his brother Esav Arosha, and for some reason, which is a different shir altogether, which we have to understand, Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav, and because Yitzchak loved Esav, Yaakov had to be mechabed Esav. Yaakov had to honor Esav, even though Yaakov knew that Esav was full of sheker. Ketzad ma'asrin es ha-melach ves ha-teven. How do we take ma'aser from salt and straw? He knew that Esav was full of sheker. He was full of emes. Let us take a minute's thought, a second's thought, to think how Yaakov Avinu lived in the house, when all the time he had to live with this symbol of sheker, and he was a symbol of emes, and at the same time he had to be mechabed his father, and at the same time he had to be mechabed Esav, because his father loved Esav so much. Can you imagine how the Kvishas HaYetzer that he had to have all the time because he knew the Sheker of Esav. And he was a symbol of Emes. This was amazing. And he kept this going for many, many years until the whole thing came up to the forefront that Esav misnachem lecha lehogecha, Esav wants to kill you, and then he realized he's got to go. Rivka realized he had to go. At least he went away. Where did he go to? He ended up in Lavan. Maybe even worse. Lavan was swindled him 100 times. Aseres meinim, 100 times. We're talking about the man of MS having to be involved with people whose whole mahus was sheker. Have we ever thought about such a thing? That the whole nisayon should be with sheker like this? We can begin to understand now why Yaakov Avinu used the word roim. The only reason why Yaakov used the word roim was because maybe for the first time in his life, he was able to use his full MS without being afraid at all. He was able to turn round to Paroi and say, Roim, I couldn't bear to live with the Sheker. And then comes the Maisa of Yosef. Yosef was his beloved son. Yosef, he taught and learned everything that he had learned in Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva for 14 years. He taught all this to Yosef. And then what happens? They come to him. Hakeno, is this the coat of your son or not? In Sedra Vayeshev. He recognizes it. He says, it's the coat of my son. Torov, Torav, Yosef. Yosef surely been torn to pieces. Can you imagine the tsar, the agony, the avelus that Yaakov Avinu is going through? They all arise to comfort him. He refuses to be comforted. And he says, no, I will go down to my son Ovel. Ovel, says Rav Hirsch, is similar to the word Avol. We say Avol means but. I'm trying to be comforted, but I can't. But I'm thinking about this. But I'm thinking about that. Avol. What was the reason why Yaakov Avinu, who realized everything was from Hashem, and he realized that everything had a purpose, why did he refuse to be comforted? Why couldn't he say, okay, I realize it's from Hashem? Yaakov Avinu, as we say, was such a symbol of MS. That he knew that the MS is when somebody loses somebody close to him. There is an amazing nechama which comes from Shemayim, which we can't explain in human, normal, natural terms. It's complete miracle that Eibishter makes a nechama. He was not getting this nechama. He realized that Yosef was still alive. And one of the biggest proofs is, in this week's Sedra in Vayigash, when Yehuda is telling Yosef what Yaakov said, he says, Yaakov said, Ayetze ho'echod me'iti, and I said, Ach toroiv toiraf, v'loi re'isiv ad heino. I have not seen him till now. You wouldn't say that about somebody you know is dead, and I've not seen him till now. Of course you haven't seen him till now if he's dead. So if Yaakov Avinu said, Torah, Torah, V'loi Re'isiv Adheino, it means he, deep down he realized he was alive. The Emes inside him told Yaakov, you should know your dear son Yosef is still alive. That's why he's saying, V'loi Re'isiv Adheino. And then we come to the Moirid Gemaisim and Miketz, when the brothers come down, and Yosef makes himself as a stranger to them. That's a whole different schmooze altogether. But then we come, the brothers come down again with Binyamin. Shimon is given back to them, and they're about to leave. They're about to go back to Canaan, together with Shimon, together with Binyamin, together with food. It looks like things weren't too bad after all. It looks like it's going to be quite good. True, they haven't got Yosef, but But at least we've got Shimon back, Binyamin safe, we've got food, we can go back home. Yosef wanted to show them this is not the approach how to take the trials and tribulations of life. Yosef knew very well what it was all about to be in terrible tsar. Yosef had a terrible trouble of being, first of all, thrown into a pit. And then he was taken and sold down to Mitzrayim. And then he was sold to Potiphar. And then the terrible, terrible trials and tribulations with Ashes Potiphar. And what does he say with all this that's going on? Everything that's happening. Vayehi Hashem es Yosef. He calls it Hashem. He calls it Midas or Rachamim. He doesn't call it Vayehi Elikim. Vayehi Hashem es Yosef. Vayeit Elov Chosed. He treats it as kindness from Hashem. Because he realizes whatever bad happens to a person, whatever massive a person finds himself in, the Eibishter is going to give him chosed. The Eibishter is giving him kindness. And he comes out from there and he wants to show the brothers that just because you think everything is fine now and you're able to go back, you're able to go back with Binyamin and Shimon, I'm going to make things so bad for you because I want to show you exactly how life can be. And in the end, I want to show you that all the trials and tribulations are absolutely nothing. Because you'll not only will you have Yehuda and Binyamin, you'll even have Yosef. But let's first look at one pasuk before that. We see that when the brothers were told that the silver cup was found in Binyamin's sack, Vayikru simloisom, they tore their garments, Vayamois ishal chamoiroi, they saddled their donkey, Vayoshuvu ha'ira, they returned to the city. This is one pasuk. At the same pasuk where it says they tore their garments, what does Rashi say? They returned to the city. Metropolin hoya, it was a metropolis, a big city. Lehoisa chashuvo b'einehem elokeir b'einene shalasoro b'nei odom le'inyan milchama. In the same posuk where they tore their clothes, they felt so low, they were prepared for milchama. They were prepared to go to wage war against the people in Mitzrayim. Because if a person has bitachon in Hashem, however terrible the matziv is, however ghastly it is, vayoshuvu he'ira, they're prepared to come and they're prepared to fight. And they're prepared to go to milchama. Because they're realizing that Hashem is giving them the strength, first of all, from being low, from having that terrible darkness, to emerge into light. And then we come finally to Vayigash. In Vayigash we have Yehuda's speech to Yosef. Now at first it seems a rather unimpressive speech. Backwards and forwards, we said this to Father, Father said this to us, we said this to Father. Backwards and forwards, and that's why I want Binyamin back, I need to take Binyamin. But then Yosef hears the words from Yehuda that he knows changes everything. Yeshev no avdecho tachas hana'a eved ladoini. I am prepared to stay as an eved v'hana'a ya'al im echov. When Yosef hears Yehuda say this, this was the exact opposite of what happened all those years before. Before it was Yehuda's idea to throw Yosef in the pit. It was Yehuda's idea to lechuv anim karenu la Yishmaelim, to sell him to the Yishmaelim. Now he's prepared to do the exact opposite for a brother, for another son of Rachel. He is prepared to remain an Eved Tachas Hana'ah, instead of the lad. He's prepared to allow the Na'ah to go, because I cannot. Ki eich ele el ovi pen ere bero asher yimso et ovi. I cannot go back to my father with Binyamin not being with me, with our brother not being with us, pen ere v'ro asher yimso es ovi. This was a complete teshuva. Not only is he prepared to see the father suffer by showing him a coat dipped in blood and saying, recognize this, is it the coat of your son or not? But he's prepared to stay as an abed because I cannot see the bad that's becoming to my father if he sees Binyamin is not there. Yosef saw a complete reversal, a complete emergence from the darkness they had when they threw him into the pit to the gewaltige light they're having now when Yehuda's making such an offer. And then, of course, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and he says, Maharu v'alu el ovi, hurry and go to my father. And then we have the famous words, Al tirgizu badorech. Do not become agitated, some translate it, on the way. Al tirgizu. So one of the mefarshim in Rashi brings is, Al tafsiu pasio gaso. Don't tread big, huge steps. Don't go massive steps. I don't understand. Before he says, Maharu. Hurry, va'alu el ovi and go to my father. So why all of a sudden now is he saying don't take big steps? Why does a person take big steps? Because he's full of behola. He's full of agitation and he's full of concern and he's full of resentment and he's upset and he can't see the way out and he doesn't understand how this happened. None of that. Yes, Maharu, hurry and bring my father, and go to my father and bring him down to Mitzrayim. But don't spend your time in Behola. Don't spend your time in confusion. Don't spend your time in darkness. Spend your time in appreciating what's happening now that you've got all the brothers back, including Yosef. This is what you're to do now. Do not spend time thinking and clearing, oh no, what's happening, what have we done, how are we going to explain it to my father? You won't have to explain anything to Yaakov. And the amazing thing is, we find that Yaakov never once asked the brothers, please tell me what happened. How did you get to Mitzrayim? Not once. Yaakov Avinu was the Ish Emes, and he did not want to hear anything that might have to be sheker. And he never once posed the question, tell me, how, Yosef, how did you get to Mitzrayim? How did you get here in the first place? The question is, when Yosef was away from the brothers for away from his father and the brothers for 22 long years, why didn't he write home? Especially when he was the king, when he was the viceroy, and there were people coming backwards and forwards all the time, buying food from Mitzrayim, surely he had plenty of opportunity to go and do me a favour. When you're back in Canaan, here's the address, please tell my father Yaakov I'm alive and well. Why didn't he do it? Maybe we can say, what do we find by Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu had to drive Yishmael away from home. Who knows? Yosef HaTzadik knew that he was not in the same madrega as Yishmael, chas v'shalom. But maybe because of a certain lack of being up to the standard of the Shvatim, he had to be away from home for a certain amount of time, and he had to be cut off from his father and cut off from his brothers, exactly the same as Yishmael was. I'm not sure, I think I'm right in saying Avram took back Yishmael sometime later on. Or he had shaykhs with Yishmael later on. Yeah. But here we find that maybe being away from his father for 22 years had to be a complete cut off. But he knew the moment would come when he would be able to emerge from that darkness into light. He knew the time would come when he would be able to once again say, oh, here I am, we're together once again. Yehuda said, Nafshoi Keshuro B'Nafshoi. His soul, Yaakov's soul, is tied up with Binyamin's soul. B'Nafshoi Keshuro B'Nafshoi. The only other time in Tanakh where it ever says one person's soul is tied up with somebody else's, you know where? By David and Yonason. By David and Yonason. By David and Yonason, the Pasuk says, it's the only time. The Nefesh Yehonason Nixra B'Nefesh David. Now let's work it out. Yonason came from Shevet Binyamin. David came from Shevet Yehuda. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this tremendous? David HaMelech came from the tribe of Yehuda, and Yehuda was the one who was prepared to remain as an Eved instead of Binyamin. And all of a sudden, next pasuk, this is Shmuel Aleph, Peret Yud Zayin. It says, Vayikochehu Shol Bayomahu. I don't know it by heart. Shol took him on that day. He took David on that day. And he wouldn't allow him to return to his father's house. He loved him so much. How would Yonason feel? I'm the king's son. I'm Shaul's son. And this young man here, this younger manchik, this David, all of a sudden he's becoming a favorite to my father, the king. Vayichrois Yonason veDavid bris. Be'ahavosoi oisoi kenafshoi. He became his best friend. Your Elter Zeda Yehuda was prepared to remain Eved in Mitzrayim. I am prepared for you to remain close to my father David, even though I'm his son. Because I'm repaying the chasadim of Yehuda all those years ago. Isn't that amazing? It carries on. Yonason took off the special robe, the royal robe that he had. My goodness. Goodness gracious. And he gave it to David. At that time, David wasn't from royalty at all. Umadov. And what do we find? Yehuda was the one who led that Vayavshitu Eskusoines Eskutontoi. He was the one who helped strip off the special garment from a son of Rachel. And now, a son of Binyamin, a son of Rachel, Yonason was prepared to take off his own garment and give it over to somebody from Yehuda. He was prepared to give it over to David. A complete reversal. A complete teshuvah. Just like Yehuda himself did a complete teshuvah at the time. A descendant of Ben Rachel was doing a complete reversal to show, I'm grateful what your Zayda did. What your Elter Zayda did. That he was prepared to remain an Eved instead of my Zayda. I am now loving you and I'm taking my ma'il and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you, David. Nothing goes in waste. Nothing goes for empty. When a person has a tzora, when a person has a terrible trouble happen to him in life, and we still have the posuk in Ashrei Toiv Hashem Lakol Verachamo Baal Kol Masov. And the person feels like shouting, yes, but what about me? What about me? What's happened to me? If Tov Hashem Lakol Verachem Aval Kol Ma'asov. Says in the Tziv, a beautiful, beautiful thing. Says in the Tziv, there's a pasuk, it's Haftarah of Noach. And I think he said so as well. Ki berega koton azavtich uverachamin gedoyle makapzech. In one small moment I leave you, and with great mercies I gather you in. Says in the Tziv, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ha'ora on this pasuk. For every every second, for every moment that a person has Torahs in this world, that a person has Nabuch, a terrible thing happened to him, Berachamim Gedolim Akapteich, I will gather you and I will give you days and months and weeks and months and years. Keneged that moment of Torahs that you had, I will give you Rachamim Gedolim, I will give you great mercy. Berega Koton Azavtich, Uva Rachamim Gedolim Akapteich. So we see that Yaakov Avinu was coming down to Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Vayomer Lekim LeYisrael Bebarois HaLayla, in a vision of night. We never ever find that Eibishter appeared to the others at night. Not by Avram, not by Yitzchak, not even by Moshe. It's always in the day. Bilam we find at night. Although Yaakov says Bemarais HaLayla, says the Meshech Chokma, a beautiful, amazing thing. Balovan as well, yeah. Vayifka b'mokhev, yeah. Just twice. Here, b'maris alayla, and vayetze vayifka b'mokhev. The Eibishter is showing that Yaakov is a symbol of Golos. Yaakov is going into Golos now. He is preparing people for the darkest days. He's preparing people for days of extreme choshech. The Eibishter is saying, Vayomer Lekim LeYisrael, B'marois HaLayla, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, even though you won't be always in the gedder of Yisrael, of royalty, even though you will be Yaakov, Yaakov at the heel, Onoichi Hokel Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father, Al Tiro Meudo Mitzrayim, do not fear from going down, never be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. I will go down with you. You know, the Pasuk says, Shivim Nefesh, 70 souls came down. But if you count, you only get 69. He says that when you, there were only 69. But the Eibishter says, Onoichi Eireid Imcha Mitzrayim, I am going down with you. I am going to be number 70. And whatever tzaras happened in Mitzrayim to you will happen to me. The shaila is, was there Shekhinah in Mitzrayim or not? Normally we say that the Shekhinah wasn't in a place Malay or Gilulim. However, we find by Yishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita in Mitzrayim, because the Shekhinah was there on top of the bed of Achele. So we see the Shekhinah was in Mitzrayim.
She was a Makkas as well.
We see the Makkas as well? Yeah. So the answer is yes. Onoichi, Anivalei Malach, Anivalei Sarof, yeah. There are different daragas, different madrigas of Shekhinah. Different madrigas of Shekhinah. Yaakov, I've got so much to say, I don't know how I'm going to fit it in 1 minute. Yaakov Avinu wanted to say, he wanted to show, never take things at face value. The brothers, when they were recalled to the palace over the cup, it looked terrible. And the same with Yaakov as well. Yaakov had no idea how Yosef was doing. He had no idea, A, whether he was alive. As we saw before, he said, V'loi re'isi van heina. But also, what about his ruchnius? If he lived in Mitzrayim for 22 years, another custom which we really haven't got time for now at all, is what about Shimon? If Yaakov Avinu didn't allow the brothers to go back to get food, how could they allow Shimon to stay in Mitzrayim all by himself, Darton, unprotected? How did they allow that?
They didn't allow it. Yaakov allowed it.
Yeah. How did Yaakov allow it? Yeah. Because the whole time he delayed the brothers from going back to Mitzrayim to buy food, Shimon was lingering, Darton, in Mitzrayim. And when Yaakov heard Vayas HaGolos, and he reminded him of the Eglo Arufa, the very last Tikkul Torah that they learned in the very last shir before the end of Yachikala, before the end when they were leaving to go from Canaan, the very last shir he remembered. Oh, he was worried all the time about Yosef's ruchnius. Shows he's got nothing to worry about. Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, says Rav Malkiel Kotler, he explains from his father, Rav Shneur Zatzal, that Yaakov Avinu was now called Yaakov Avihem, their father. Because he now realized that all 12 sons were able to be transmitters of Torah, even Yosef. And all the more so because all the Torah that he taught to Yosef that he'd learned in 14 years, he gave over to Yosef, that was now being able to be transmitted over to his children. Just to finish off, when we look back at the Doros we find ourselves in now, after the terrible, terrible, terrible Churban which we went through, which Klal Yisrael went through, and we see people have built up their lives, built up mishpachas. Just one person I have in mind, he came by himself, he came with a sister and his father. His father was Nifta shortly after the war. And he managed to build up Bli Ayin Hara, a huge mishpacha, where when it comes to family photos, the small hall in Steen Court's too small. You have to go into the big hall to take the photos because the small hall is not big enough. And he came with absolutely nothing. He came from Auschwitz, he came from by himself, and one sister survived. And he was able to build up a whole mishpacha. How can people do it? For us it's only words. We've got no idea what it was all about. How they were able to emerge from such a darkness into light. They were able to build not only their lives, but build tzibur lives, community lives, shtot lives, country lives, ganze Welt lives. This is for another time. And able to help that we should be able to emerge from our darkness to light. We should be able to learn the lessons from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yosef, to be able to remain strong and to realize, however bad things are, Toiv Hashem Lakol, Barachem Avokol Masov, the Abish will give Rachamim, Gedolim Akapzeif, the Abish will make up for it with great mercy and great light. And Yeshua is from the Chabas Mehera Vimehera.
How did Yaakov come to say, Ma'abba Ro'im? How did he answer that?
Marvelous!
Have you answered that? How did it come to say, Ro'im?
Yeah.
Have you answered that?